I'm sorry to say that Mr. Rosier is rather unwell and unable to be with us tonight. Mr. Graham Hadley has very kindly agreed to preach in his place. Now let us join in the worship of God. Our first hymn is number 99. Hymn number 99. Blessed Jesus, thee we sing. Thou of life, the eternal spring. Thou art worthy, thou alone. Thou the rock and cornerstone. Hymn number 99.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 61. The prophecy of Isaiah 61. And then we'll read some verses in the prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 12. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We will turn to the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 12. We'll read from verse 6 and the first two verses of the next chapter. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 6. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Adradrimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. May the Lord grant his blessing upon those portions of his holy and sacred word. May he now grant us a spirit of prayer. O thou most holy, almighty, and yet most gracious God, we gather together here, Lord, at this evening hour, around thy word. Lord, it is unexpected that we gather together as we do now, and we commit unto thee, Lord, thy servant who should have been here in the engagement that had been made. But all these things, Lord, are subject to thy will. Lord, we commend him to thee in his weakness and in his sickness. Lord, that thou wilt grant him health, strength, and healing to labour again and again as the days unfold in thy name. And Lord, there's confirming of thy word through him, with signs following. Oh Lord, do strengthen and heal many, Lord, that are laid aside at this time in the ministry of the gospel, some having had operations and are recovering, some, Lord, through older age and affliction. Oh Lord, these are days when we need the outpouring of thy Spirit, Lord, to exercise the hearts of those whom thou shalt send forth in the ministry of the gospel. Oh Lord, do not take away the preaching of the word. Lord, not just word only through man's lips, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, who bless our friend who should have been here to his own church and congregation, and may they know the sound of thy voice through that which thou doth cause him to speak. We pray for others, Lord, who would have been here this night if they could. Lord, the two deacons, Lord, do remember them both. Lord, the one in pain and affliction, Lord, following the injury he has suffered. Oh, Lord, why do these things come to pass? Lord, we have no answer to those things, but we know our times are in thy hand. And, Lord, we pray thou wilt work it together for the good of his soul. Lord, that in the quietness of his home, for he hath been spared death, Lord, in the quietness of his home, as no doubt he meditates in thy word, make that meditation sweet to the blessing and comfort of his soul. And, O Lord, we pray thou wilt cause him to return safely here in due time, and all the praise and glory up unto thee. Lord, heal our friend who should have been here to give out the hymns tonight. Lord, help him as he feels unwell with that a disease. And Lord, remember his wife also. Lord, do grant him a speedy recovery to take up the office here again. Lord, any this evening who could not be here, although they would desire to be, Lord, there may be some away in other places. Lord, watch over them and keep them safe in thy care. Those are detained by duties and responsibilities, the cares of others. Oh, Lord, we do commend them to thee. Thou wilt help them and bless them in their deed. Help them to commit all their way unto thee and to trust also in thee. Lord, be with any who are feeling unwell and are at home. Others, Lord, who may be far away and listen in to the service here which is broadcast. Lord, grant us tonight the unity of thy Spirit wherever we are, and know the bond of thy peace. Be with us here, Lord, in thine earthly court. But, O Lord, what is this house to me, except thee the Master here we see? O Lord, give us the eye of faith to look unto Jesus, he who is the author and finisher of our faith, that we may have hope through him of eternal life, the Saviour of sinners. Lord, we are sinners, and there's only one Saviour. Help us, Lord, oh, to pour out our hearts in humble confession, seeking deliverance from the power of our sins. Oh, do blot out all our transgressions. Lord, do love us freely. Thou knowest, Lord, how we have come here tonight. Lord, we thank thee for every desire in our hearts to be found here. Lord, do remove all coldness just of custom and practice. Lord, but put the desire of every heart to hear thy voice, even that voice of love and mercy that sounds through Calvary. Lord, hear the prayers of each one, those who've come burdened on account of their sins, those, Lord, who find, oh, such dryness in their hearts, the hardness of their hearts. Oh, Lord, how often we find that hardness prevailing in what we think and say and do. And, Lord, that hard heart is so hard it can look unconcerned at eternal misery. Oh, Lord, do not us let lose sight of Jesus and his cross, for then soon we fall a prey. Our lust, our pride, oh, by power and craft carries us away. Lord, we are of this earth earthy, and we need thee to come. Come now, Lord, at this evening hour. Oh, and strengthen us for life's journey. May we know that sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, to rest by love upon his love, that love revealed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. And so, Lord, as we are now in the house we have found, oh, to give thee all the glory. Lord, do unite us. Lord, may we be one before thee. And Lord, do prepare us for all that is before us. Lord, remember the children and the young people. Lord, we would think they have many years before them. And Lord, in the changing scenes of this world which has taken place since many of us were young their age, oh Lord, what changes are further to come for them? Lord, we know not, but thou knowest all things. But we fear, Lord, that mankind shall wax worse and worse. Oh, be their defender. Surround them with thy love. Fill them with thy spirit. Give them that singleness of eye to look unto Jesus and to know the pardon of their sins, the blessing of their souls, their pardon sealed and peace with God. O Lord, raise up from amongst the growing generation many, Lord, multitudes who shall praise thee for thy goodness and mercy unto their souls through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Lord, each of us, oh, how we need, Lord, the same blessing, the confirmation of it as well as the beginning of it. Lord, for maybe we can say, oh, many days have passed since then, since thou didst begin a good work in us. Many changes we have seen. Oh, Lord, but thou changest not. Thy love and mercy is still the same. And, Lord, we thank and praise thee that thou doth not cast us away, though vile. Lord, help us now at this time of worship. Oh, let us lose sight of all the things that have crowded into us through the hours of this day, the busy scenes of earthly life, those things which have to be managed and handled, the many things that have to be decided upon. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou hast been mindful of us in them and kept and led us in the right way. But now, Lord, oh, give us an eye of faith to look unto Jesus. Lord, as we look into thy word, oh, open it to our hearts and to our understanding. Do not send us empty away. be with our loved ones where they are. Lord, thou knowest each heart. Lord, there may be those who have no desire for the salvation of their soul in nature's darkness, in ignorance. Lord, do not let them remain in such a solemn state. Lord, but save them by thy grace. Pour out thy spirit to cause them to cry, "Give me Christ, or else I die." O Lord, thou hast the power. O may they yet be thine, and all the glory shall be thine. Those, Lord, of our loved ones which, Lord, are bought with a price, the price of the heart-shed blood of Jesus. Lord, strengthen them day by day. Help them in the days, Lord, of difficulties and troubles, the trials of their faith. O Lord, keep them in the way that is everlasting. And if any are elderly, Lord, and know their bodily weakness and mental weakness, O still be the strength of their soul. Lord, shine in, speak pardon and peace in the power of thy Spirit. And help them, Lord, to look up, to watch, to wait for thine appearing. So, Lord, we commend ourselves to thee. Bless each one of the church and congregation. Lord, oh, we thank thee. Lord, for the times we can spend together in our churches. Lord, with loved ones, those we love for the truth's sake, and to know thy rich blessing, Lord, upon us, amongst us. Lord, the power of that Spirit that keeps us from strife and division, to do all things in love for the truth's sake. O Lord, may this be our portion as we gather together to know nothing amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We pray, Lord, for our country, our nation. Lord, at this time when change comes, as it does at times of elections, Lord, a new government, whatever that government shall be, thou knowest, and only thou doth know. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us a government which is ruled by thee, governed by thee, led by thee. Lord, members of our Parliament that will acknowledge thee and thy word. Lord, those that are praying souls and seek to do what is right in thy sight. O Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Help us to pray in faith and not to sink in the depths of despair and unbelief in what thou canst do. O Lord, yes, we have our fears, but O speak the fear not. Lord, still be mindful of this nation which thou hast blessed for centuries. Do not let us descend into greater abyss of sin. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember thy mercy still, and still be the God of this our land, where thou hast appointed us to live. In this day, hear us then, Lord, in all these our petitions. And now, Lord, bless thy word. Without thee we can do nothing. Lord, come and speak to us in the power of thy Spirit, that it is not just my words that are heard and remain in our heads, but it is thy voice, Lord, that speaks to our innermost heart. And Lord, may that remain and be our blessing and our strength, our spiritual health, all of our days. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 880. 880. Remember, man, thy birth. Set not on gold thy heart. Naked thou cam'st upon the earth, and naked must depart. This world's vain wealth despise. Happiness is not here. To Jesus lift thy longing eyes, and seek thy treasure there. Hymn 880.
Thank you.
in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord, that he may open up and speak to us each through the sacred truth contained in these holy scriptures. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61 and the last five words of verse 2. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, the last clause of it. To comfort all that mourn. To comfort all that mourn. This chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah begins with the declaration of the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And although these words were spoken by Isaiah, they did not, in their application, mean himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, yet in the glory with his Father, spoke these words. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. For we read in Luke's testimony of the gospel of Christ, that when Jesus returned to Nazareth, in the synagogue, he opened the book given to him, the book of Isaiah, and read this portion, and said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Dear friends, this sacred prophecy, this sweet prophecy fulfilled in the ears of those who were there at Nazareth. And dear friends, it ever has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in the glorious work that the Father gave him to do, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. What vengeance was that? The vengeance over the power of sin. The vengeance upon Satan, whom the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would bruise his head, would destroy his power, and have the great victory. A victory to those who mourn. To comfort all that mourn. Dear friends, I'm sure most of you know what it is to mourn at times. It's normally at the time of the loss of a loved one, isn't it? When one, yes, has beheld their sufferings and then taken from time to eternity, and you can see them no more, embrace them no more, speak to them no more. We mourn the loss of loved ones. There's to be such a funeral service here, if it's the Lord's will, on coming Thursday. One of the Lord's own, the deacon, friend Stanton, who has now passed from time to eternity, and his family mourn the loss of a loved one. Dear friends, most of us, when we see other people's griefs, we perhaps have sympathy. We have sympathy with those that mourn. But mourning is deeper than just sympathy. Mourning is normally associated with weeping, with the broken heart, and one who's very, very low in spirit. The scripture speaks, doesn't it, of how his people, the Lord's own people, mourn over their sins, a spiritual mourning. Dear friends, if there's a physical, bodily mourning through the loss of loved ones, the scriptures also speak of a spiritual mourning on account of sin. Dear friends, that spiritual mourning over sin is not just the knowledge of sin. It's deeper than that. We have those in scripture who said, "I have sinned." But there was no real mourning over their sin. King Saul confessed to Samuel, "I have sinned." But dear friends, there was no physical spiritual mourning over his sin. Balaam, whom the Lord used to speak against the Midianites who wanted him to curse Israel, he said, "I have sinned." But he delighted in unrighteousness still. Dear friends, have you said, "I have sinned"? And what does it mean to you in your heart? Adam and Eve said they had sinned. Then they made excuses that it was other people's fault. Adam said it was Eve's fault. She gave me of the fruit and I did eat. And Eve then just pointed to the serpent. The serpent beguiled me. Dear friends, we come to the knowledge of sin. We come to the knowledge of transgression of the word of God. But what effect has it had and does have upon us? It may be very rare that we do acknowledge our sin even in a natural sense. Oh, I can speak for myself. I come to the end of a day. We read the word of God. We pray. And we say, "Lord, forgive us our sins." And if someone said to you, "Well, what have your sins been today?" What would you be able to say? If someone said, "What have your good deeds and your achievements been today?" Oh, you could soon state what those have been, can't you? But oh, the hardness of our heart. It hides the truth from us that we are great sinners, vile in the sight of a holy God. Then, dear friends, we need something, don't we? We need something to remove this deadness, this darkness from our hearts. We need to be quickened, as the word says. That means made alive to the knowledge of what we are before a holy God. Dear friends, it's a good prayer of our hymn, isn't it, in the hymn book. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Oh, make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. Now, that's the prayer of a sinner who's been taught of his sin by the Spirit. Dear friends, have you ever prayed that prayer from the depths of your heart? We read in Zechariah, didn't we, of that spirit of grace and of supplications, which will come not just generally, but will come upon the house of David and upon Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Dear friends, Jerusalem is often depicted as the Lord's own people, where he placed his name there. In this day in which we live, the Church of Christ, the spiritual Jerusalem. It shall come to pass, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Now, dear friends, that spirit of grace is the grace of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit. It's the grace of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that convinces us of our sin. Dear friends, that's not pleasant, is it, to be convinced that we are a dreadful sinner before a holy God? But it's a vital work of the beginning of grace within our hearts. Otherwise, we do not come to a true knowledge and a true need of the forgiveness of our sins. It's something if we are tormented by eternity. That was what Asaph was tormented by, wasn't it? When he went into the sanctuary. Oh, he was a worldly one, he was a Levite. But he did not want to continue in the ways of God. They were a chore to him. He wanted to leave it as soon as he could. And how many of us growing up through our youth and teenage years and early 20s want to do the same? Until he went into the sanctuary once more. And the Lord showed him the end of the wicked, the solemn eternity, to die in one sin. Oh, dear friends, I do pray that each of us here tonight and those who are listening in may come to have that revelation within their heart and upon their soul, what it is to die in our sins. Oh, the multitude we've committed, even though we cannot discover them or confess them ourselves in their detail. The Lord knows them all. And that spirit of grace, dear friends, brings us into the depths. It brings us to know we're guilty. It brings us to where we've got no righteousness left of our own. Dear friends, how much do we go around day by day in our own righteousness? We see others in an outward form of sin and neglect and carelessness and what we might say foolishness, and they do not consider anything concerning the word of God. They've got no exercise in it, and our own heart lifts us up with a bit of pride, lifts us up. We thank God we are not as other men are, and we pray that in the wrong sense, like the Pharisee. Dear friends, we need deliverance from such a state of that, don't we? We need to be brought to nothing. Vile sinners, no righteousness, no goodness, unworthy of the least of the Lord's mercies. And dear friends, in such a state as that, the spirit of grace and of supplication causes us to pray supplications that are earnest prayers, singleness of desire from our hearts, pleading for his mercy. Oh, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, said the psalmist. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And where does this forgiveness come? To a guilty sinner. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. There's a revelation of a suffering Saviour. There's a revelation of the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, bearing the sins of many, your sins, upon Calvary's cross. There's a view given. Oh, to look, who Jesus says, they should look upon me, whom they have pierced, yes, here in this prophecy. Look unto me in another place, all ye ends of the earth. And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and they that looked, they lived. But dear friends, what a sight this is of a suffering Saviour. One who is suffering in your room, your place, your stead. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Their sins have pierced through his soul. The soul that he pours out unto death. Dear friends, Jesus had a soul, the scripture tells us. He confessed it himself. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And dear friends, is not the sin, your sin and my sin, in our soul, a sin-sick soul? Dear friends, then how could it be redeemed? How could it find forgiveness if that soul, in accordance with the demands of the law, through the shedding of blood of a guilty sinner, has not been poured out for the remission of our sins? Oh, how willing was Jesus to die, that we guilty sinners might live. Then there's this view, dear friends, given to us through the Spirit of grace, causing us to cry and to look unto him alone. Oh, we don't look to ourselves and we don't look to the law, do we? The law can make nothing perfect. It can tell us our guilt, yes. But the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better hope. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. Oh, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Where's the brokenhearted? They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Dear friends, that's a great mourning, you know. I remember reading an account some years ago of a father who was going to make a journey, and he said farewell to his family, got in the car on the driveway, started the car in reverse. And he did not know that his little two-year-old son, his only son, had followed him out and was behind the car. And he reversed right over him and killed him. Oh, dear friends, can we imagine the mourning, the grief that must have been in that man's heart? Oh, how he must have grieved that he had not been more careful, that he'd been more watchful, that he had not taken so much for granted. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Dear friends, here we have a broken heart, don't we? A broken heart over our sins, what it hath cost the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of life and glory. Oh, as he poured out his soul unto death, the hiding of his father's face, oh, the darkness what was upon him. He was ever one with the Father, but through the iniquity of his people which was laid upon him. Dear friends, there was that hiding of his father's face. But the Father was still looking upon him, wasn't he? He could see the travail of the soul of his son. He would be satisfied that here, and only here, was the redemption for sin, the price paid, that Satan would be a completely defeated foe. All the guilt of all that the Father had given to his Son, of those he'd given to his Son. Dear friends, all those were blotted out from under the law. The price had been paid. Our sins, to look upon him whom we have pierced. And we shall mourn for him as one shall be in bitterness. But you know, dear friends, as I said at the beginning, where there's mourning, there is love. It isn't just sympathy to Christ, is it? Of a real guilty sinner taught by the Spirit, there's mourning over our sins and after Christ because of love. And what is that love? That's the love shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. That there is yet hope in Christ Jesus for such a vile, guilty sinner that confesses their sins, drawn by the Spirit still to the foot of the cross, to look up and live. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, dear friends, on such love my soul still ponders. Love so great, so rich, so free. And dear friends, it's this love shed abroad in your heart which causes you to weep in love. That broken, that contrite heart. Oh, my sins. Oh, the depth of my guilt. Oh, the cost to the dear Son of God. Sinless, holy, who came, oh, made himself of no reputation. Power to lay down his life for the sin of my soul. And dear friends, it's very personal, isn't it? It says here, the house of David apart and their wives apart. The family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart. Dear friends, we can't say the saving grace of the Lord in one is the saving grace of the Lord to another. We have to know it ourselves personally, effectively. But oh, this sweet, following on verses of the next chapter. That isn't the end. That weeping and mourning is not the end. Although it's a vital work of the grace of God upon the soul by the Spirit. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For sin and uncleanness. The wounds of Jesus for their sins. That which they've been brought to mourn over. That which is a great burden to them as the broken-hearted sinner. Dear friends, this is the comfort, isn't it? This is the comfort of the gospel. This is the comfort of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as Jesus said to his disciples before he suffered, ye now have sorrow, when he told them he was to depart and suffer. Ye now have sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Oh, the power of his resurrection. That was the glory of Paul, wasn't it? When he testified how he once was. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, blameless. But now that which was gained to him he counted but dung that he might win Christ. That oh, I may know the power of his resurrection. A guilty sinner. He said, when sin revived, I died. Oh, but Christ became his life. Christ became all and in all by the grace of God. I am what I am. Because he was revealed to him. The power of that resurrection. A fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. And as the hymn writer puts it, they that are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. All their guilty stains. Every one of them. Those sins you can't recount yourself. You've been ignorant of them. Dear friends, the Lord knows, and they are borne by Jesus. He's carried them on Calvary's cross. Oh, the Lamb that was slain, that blotteth out all transgressions, all your sins, the sins of the world. That's what's in our hearts by nature, isn't it? To remember them no more. Oh, Jeremiah, doesn't his priest, speaks of the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. Whereby the law is revealed, the law of grace within our hearts. And our iniquity is pardoned. And our sins are forgiven, remembered no more. Dear friends, does this portion bring joy and rejoicing to your heart? That you, such a guilty sinner, oh, are under the grace of the God, the covenant of grace, the shedding abroad of by the Spirit, of love and mercy to your soul. You know, dear friends, when it begins to show you your sins, oh, that's the beginning of this grace. And you desire the one thing needful, don't you? Desire the one thing above all others. The power of the shed blood of Christ to cleanse you from all your sin. Well, dear friends, if you're exercised in that way, the object of your first desire is Jesus crucified for you, then, dear friends, there's comfort in these Gospels, isn't there? There's comfort in these truths. There's comfort in these prophecies. There's comfort in what Christ has done for such guilty sinners as you and me. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Comfort. Your sins are all blotted out as a thick cloud. Oh, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord earlier in this prophecy. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak unto her, say, her warfare is accomplished. Dear friends, is that the case with some of you tonight? There's a warfare. Although, dear friends, you have this wonderful revelation of Christ in your soul, in your spirit, in your love, and your love to him because of his first love for you, you're still fighting against this nature in your heart, aren't you? How easily, oh, we sin day by day, hour by hour. The lust of our flesh is still there. Our pride is still there. It demands to be satisfied. It's still there. We want our own esteem. We want the lusts of our flesh satisfied. We want the pleasures of this world and so on and so forth. And they influence us in our thoughts, our words and our deeds. And we sin them more and more, don't we? Day by day. What a sweet word that is, a word of comfort. The Lord knows your frame. He remembers that you are but dust. He knows you have no strength at all. Satan is yet a mighty foe. But he's a defeated foe, dear soul. He cannot have the power over you anymore. Comfort ye, my people. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. Ye have received of the Lord's hand double for all your sin. Double. Duplicate, that's what the Hebrew word stands for there. Duplicate. You've received of the Lord's hand a duplicate for all your sin. There's Christ, isn't it, revealed? Who stood in your place instead, taken all your sins upon him, who was made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. to comfort all that mourn. Oh, dear friends, we continue in prayer, don't we? Under the spirit of grace and of supplications. It's a good place to be kept at the foot of the cross, knowing our complete dependence rests upon what Christ has done. He who has put away our judgments, that we shall not see evil anymore, not the power of Satan to destroy our soul in that judgment in hellfire. Well, it won't be completely destroyed, will it? It will be tormented for ever and ever. How solemn. Oh, how solemn to be forever with the devil and his angels and never know any more the mercy of God. But dear friends, this is not so. He is a defeated foe for those whom he may yet still accuse, to those who we would still pull down from the grace of God, the trials of our faith. Oh, the spirit of unbelief he will stir up within us. Like the Apostle Paul, tormented, messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he couldn't remove it from him, not from himself. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. Ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye by his poverty might be made rich, redeemed with precious blood redeemed, not with the gold and silver of this world, but the precious blood of a lamb without blemish and without spot, and to look upon him whom we have pierced. Oh, dear friends, that keeps us with a humble, broken heart, doesn't it? But with joy and rejoicing that for whom he died, he has gained that victory. And we have Christ now within us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, ever in us, never to be removed. Shall see evil of Satan no more, but to rest in his love, in which he rests, who has gone to prepare a place for us. And he will come again and receive us unto himself. To comfort all that mourn. You know, dear friends, we have Jesus speaking that word on the Sermon on the Mount, don't we? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, they're not blessed because they mourn. They mourn because they're blessed. They've been blessed with the knowledge of their sin, and they've been blessed with faith to look unto Christ. And then they mourn as they look upon him whom they've pierced. Oh, blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Oh, dear friends, what a comfort that will be to open our eyes in glory. As David says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them, this is opened up in the next chapter verse, isn't it? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. There's the spiritual mourning. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. We read, don't we, the tradition of the Old Testament especially. Was anyone was mourning in sorrow and grief and in trouble, they clothed themselves with sackcloth and sat in ashes. An evidence, an outward evidence of their mourning. Well, dear friends, that spiritual mourning, oh, there's no glory, is there? There's no beauty in it, in our soul. But when Christ is revealed in all his suffering, and in the glorious power of his resurrection, a complete saviour. Oh, what a beauty there is there in him. There's no beauty like that, anything here upon this earth. A beauty, dear friends, which will affect your heart and soul for the rest of your days as you look upon him whom you have pierced. And he looks down now from the heights of glory and says, all this was done for you. All this was done for you. Dear friends, there's a beauty in those words, isn't there? There's the comfort of your soul. Oh, how we long to hear his voice. You know, as we go on day by day, week by week, year by year, do we come into those times when, oh, it seems as if all the goodness of the Lord has been imagination unto our hearts. And our prayer is of David, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. You desire to see again in spirit by faith his beauty, that glorious salvation for the eternal good of your soul. And the oil of joy for mourning, the oil of joy for mourning. Where oil was an anointing, wasn't it? When the priests became priests outwardly, they were anointed with oil. It was an outward event, and David was anointed with oil by Samuel to be king. Was not our king, current king, also anointed at the time of his coronation as an evidence that he was appointed, he was now the office bearer of that which he was to be, the king of the nation? But, dear friends, this is a spiritual anointing. This is the oil of the Spirit of grace, which David also received when Samuel anointed him with oil. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was anointed with the Spirit. And, oh, that eye of faith that was given to him, that great grace of faith that was given to David. Dear friends, it was a confirmation that he was a man after the Lord's own heart. That doesn't mean to say David's heart was the same as the Lord's. David was a man upon whom the Lord set his heart upon. The heart applies to God. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. And he, all things concerned David, oh dear friends, was of the Lord. David was a sinner, wasn't he? But David came to know, oh, what it was to confess his sins. Great is mine iniquity. He knew he deserved death. He came to know the grace of God and the sure mercies of God, called the sure mercies of David. But when he came to pass away, he'd only got one plea, and that was the covenant the Lord had made with him, sure and certain, of the forgiveness of his sins and preparation for life above. Oh, the anointing of the Spirit, dear friends. Joy for mourning, joy for mourning. As it causes us to look to Christ in spite of what we are. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what we read of, isn't it? For the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Lest ye be weary and faint in your mind, consider him. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. What an anointing. The anointing of joy in the work of Christ. Well, dear friends, we can go on. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, how much heaviness there does come upon a child of God in this earthly life. As I've said, we've still got this earthly spirit. We're surrounded with earthliness and evil and many things to bring troubles and anxieties, fears. And as we have to do our daily business, duties, cares, and no matter what our age, there's many things to fear, isn't there? Surrounded by evils, and there's much to cast us down. But what does the psalmist say? why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for thou shalt yet praise him. Praise to God for deliverance. Yes, spiritually and providentially. My God shall supply all my need, all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. And oh, dear friends, how we should give him thanks and praise. Even for as we are today, he hasn't dealt with us after our sins, has he? He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. Has he given us a sweet evidence that we are saved by his grace? Then in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, dear friends, through these things we glorify him, don't we? We are not our own. We are bought with a price. His own heart's blood. And here he just mentions, and then I will close, that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. His work. It's not our own. That he shall have all the glory who could save such a sinner by that grace, by that suffering of Christ. Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift that could save a sinner such as me through that offering on Calvary's cross of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when he suffered, bled and died, that he would rise again triumphant and cause, oh, that victory to be granted unto you. Righteousness, that which he wrought out there, dear friends, and called you by his grace to the knowledge of it. There's the marriage bond. Jeremiah speaks of the Lord's people, don't we? Declaring Christ, the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah, said Canu. And 10 chapters later in Jeremiah 33, concerning Jerusalem. This is the name whereby she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. The name of Christ, the bridegroom, the victor, oh, the almighty Saviour, oh, given to his church, given to those whom he hath saved. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, we have many, many analogies, don't we? God's Son, given to Christ, who hath borne our sins, blotted out all our transgressions, loved us freely, and nothing can separate us from that love. Well, dear friends, may these things enter our hearts, do us good, cause us to look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who said to comfort all that mourn, you that mourn, oh, look up. Commit still all your heart and soul and fears, your sins, your transgressions. Still look unto him whom you have pierced. And he will grant you, oh, that sweet assurance of your soul's salvation. And dear friends, there's our hope to live in glory with him forevermore, a sinner saved by grace. Amen.
Let us close our worship with hymn 328. 328. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near. Thy Saviour's gracious promise hear. His faithful word declares to thee that as thy days, thy strength shall be. 328.
O Lord, do bless thy word to the good of our never-dying soul. Lord, through the power of thy Spirit, reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. We mourn, Lord, over our sins and after Christ. But, oh, we thank thee for that precious victory that delivers us from the power of the grave. Be with us now, Lord, as we separate. Lord, do pardon all that's been amiss in our worship here this night. But, oh, may something abide of the sacred truth as it is in Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, even forevermore. Amen.